The new musical Hairspray, based on the 1988 John Waters film, opens on Broadway next week. Terry spoke with John Waters in 2000, after his film Cecil B. Demented was released. The film was about a director more extreme than Waters himself, who declares war on mainstream movies and the cineplexes that show them.
Now, did you grow up feeling the same kind of antagonism toward Hollywood that is expressed in this movie?
Because you loved movies.
I still love
Hollywood. You know, I've always made fun of things I love in my movies. Mm-hmm. When I was growing up, I had never thought I would ever be in Hollywood. I wanted to make, in the beginning, the best underground movie I could make. After that, the best midnight movie I could make. I guess after that, the best, we didn't call them independent movies, but best low-budget movie. And then when I made a Hollywood movie, I tried to make fun of a Hollywood movie. So, and I don't know what I'm making today. It's all those things put together because the movie business is so, there's a real gray area, what's a Hollywood movie and what isn't today. They're the same almost. So, no, I liked Hollywood. We mocked Hollywood in even the star system I had in my early film. I didn't have friends. I wasn't famous. So we thought up these personas, really, of I was the demented director in a way, and Divine was the, you know, my inflated Jane Mansfield. And we even had almost a vaudeville act. When I would show my early movies, we would go to each city, and I would come out looking like a deranged pimp hippie, basically, and introduce the most beautiful woman in the world. And Divine would come out dressed as the Divine character, pushing a shopping cart with dead mackerels in it and throw it in the audience. Then we would hire the cutest hippie in each city, and we had this police outfit that we had stolen, and we would dress him in that on a short-haired wig, and then he'd come out and try to arrest Divine, and Divine would strangle him to death. And that was our act. It was like vaudeville. We did it at midnight shows all the time. So that was the only way we could promote the films. We didn't have any money.
You mentioned that the old theaters in which you used to go see movies aren't really movie theaters anymore. And you have a whole kind of collage of those old movie theaters in Cecil B. Demented. And one of them's a VFW post, and one of them's a big discount store. And so that certainly happened in Philadelphia and some of the theaters, too. Does it break your heart when you see an old movie theater that's now a discount store?
Does it break my heart? I'm not that nostalgic. I think what it is I like them there as ghosts. I hate it when they take the marquee down. I don't mind if it's closed, boarded up, and the marquee gets worse and worse every year and rots and the glass breaks and there's the three letters left are crooked and then there's one letter left. That's kind of fascinating to me.
When you started making movies, there was no independent film circuit. There wasn't a Sundance Film Festival. There wasn't this whole circuit of international film festivals at which you can show independent films. So you had to find places for your movies, and your movies helped create the whole midnight movie circuit.
Well, when I first started, the underground film world I wanted to get into was totally New York-based, and they were very chauvinistic. They wouldn't even look at my movies because I was from Baltimore. And New York was the last place my movie played after I had made Mondo Trasho and Multiple Maniacs. None of them played till after Pink Flamingos became a success in New York. They had played in L.A., San Francisco, Provincetown, Philadelphia. They had played in it. And everywhere but New York. So there was nobody looking for my kind of movie then, believe me. And nobody said they were good, except finally Fran Lebowitz. And one of her first things she ever wrote for Interview Magazine. Nobody liked them. And but in those days, they were square critics, so it helped us. We used all the negative reviews. That could never, ever happen today. Even on Serial Mom, I believe, we got two thumbs down. And I wanted to put that in the ad with all the good reviews and two thumbs down. They wouldn't. It can't happen today because all film critics are hip. Nobody's rising to any bait. They're too smart. And in those days when all the critics would say a septic tank explosion, it must be seen, or the most filthy, worst movie ever made, that helped us. That's impossible today. That couldn't happen, and it couldn't help me. Well, if anything, it hurts me because that's my competition, my old movies. I bet there'll never be one review of this movie that doesn't mention my old movies in the first paragraph. That happened last time. It happens every time now. Right. So that's okay. They remember my old movies.
Is there anything left of the midnight movie circuit?
No. I don't think to make a midnight movie is suicide, because where would you show it? I mean, I'm sure Rocky Horror still plays somewhere, and people, the last of the cult, still comes in dressed as those outfits. But believe me, those people are not exactly cutting edge.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, but I guess you really couldn't do like the midnight movie thing in the multiplex.
You don't need to, because you play 2, 4, 6, 8, and 10 in a big commercial chain now if you had Rocky Horror.
Right.
Every movie theater is looking for the next Blair Witch, the next Gummo, the next Pink Flamingos. They're looking for the next weirdo movie from nowhere.
Now, is that part of what you mean when you say in your movie, when Cecil B. DeMille says the Hollywood system stole our sex and co-opted our violence, so there's nothing left for us to do?
Well, in a way, that's true, except I think what they really did was end all exploitation. I mean, there's blaxploitation, sexploitation, and violent movies. Once Hollywood made them, those genres were gone. I mean, Shaving Ryan's Privates, that's a porno movie. And I get them mixed up. But Saving, what's the real title? I can't even remember anymore.
Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah. was a gore film, really. Without Herschel Gordon Lewis, we could have never had that. The first 20 minutes were blood feast, basically. It would have been exploitation.
Did you see Shaving Ryan's Privates?
Yes, I saw both. Shaving Ryan's Private spoke to me more.
Did you go to a theater or see it on video?
I saw it on a video, actually. I'm really for people to go to porno theaters. In person, it's for the VCR impaired.
There aren't many left.
Well, there's one we shot in Baltimore, The Apex, where the Alicia Witt porno movie is playing. And I was really happy. It's a porno theater at peace with the community. And it's made friends, and there's churches around and everything. It's been there forever. So I was afraid that Marquis says an all anal evening, and I was afraid to put the L up until the last minute. I didn't want him to get in trouble with the neighbors, so I just had an all ana evening, and people kept saying, what's that mean? And then just when we did the shot, I put the L in because I didn't want to get him in trouble with the neighbors.
I'm not sure if I've asked you this before or not, but some of the actors and actresses who you've worked with over the years have been very extreme in how they dress and do their hair, and Divine being the best example of that. And you don't fit into that category yourself, at least not now. For example, you're wearing a striped shirt with, you know, a jacket and slacks.
Well, Divine didn't look like Divine in real life either.
Right.
When we were young, we looked like lunatics. We dressed.
Nothing's pierced on your face.
No, nothing's pierced.
No
if
tattoos,
I was young.
No tattoos in sight.
No, I have no tattoos. If I was young, I would have had piercings, I'm sure. Because I had very long hair when I was young, which was the piercings of that day for a man. I'd like piercings. I think the kids look cute with the piercing, the eyebrow piercing. I tell the parents, don't worry about the piercing. They grow back. It's the tattoos that look bad. No matter how butch, no matter how sexy you are at 20, your tattoos at 50 will make you look very worn out. And somebody's going to make a fortune taking them all off, all these kids. But I think tattoos can look good, especially if you're a convict. It's a good look. Especially if you're released. It is a certain edge it adds to it. But I'm against, like, pretty tattoos. I like ones that are just all black. That's my favorite new one because that really hurts.
But
a solid, big band of all black. That's the kind I like.
Did your parents ever send you to a psychiatrist when you were young?
Yes. Well, they had to. When I was expelled from college, they said he needs extensive psychiatric treatment. They always used to say I needed psychiatric treatment. Yeah, I went. And those shrinks, it didn't work because I didn't want to go. Later, when I went on my own, it worked. I mean, well, my version of working. My version of mental health, which is what you see here today.
Why did you go on your own?
Well, because I was like feeling unhappy about a few things, which I don't usually feel. So it was good. And I went back for a touch-up once.
So when you were sent against your will to the psychiatrist, what was their approach?
Well, I went. The only reason I went was to get out of the Army because I figured that I was nuts. And this is when they had the draft. And I went through the whole thing. And I would begrudgingly go. And then I got my draft notice, and the shrink said, John, I believe the Army would be the best thing in the world for you.
I thought,
you quack. Right, because I knew I could get out of the Army. It was easy. I said I was gay. I wet my bed. I was a junkie. I checked every single thing, and then the guy said to me, is this true, with this look of disgust on his face? And I, the casual toss of my long, oily, thin hair, said, yeah. And got sent home. I didn't even have to take the physical. Now, today I know we got to fight for gay rights and we got to join the Army. That's the last place I want to be, is get married or join the Army. I don't get it. Maybe that's how I feel alienated from youth culture. Although, if straight people can have 7 bad marriages, gay people should be allowed at least 1 good one.
Do you know what your next movie is going to be?
Well, and sort of I do, but I haven't written it yet. I'm just beginning. I have notebooks and I have millions of notes and pictures torn out. I want to do a movie that takes place, again, very much in the real blue-collar world about sex addicts and how they deal with their problems in the community. And I think it's going to be called A Dirty Shame because I love that. In Baltimore, people's mothers always used to say, that's a dirty shame what happened to so-and-so. Meaning not that, but just it was an expression I really like. It'd be a great trailer, you know, you show different people and then it's a dirty shame about each one. People in the neighborhood saying it's a dirty shame what happened to her.
That reminds me of a fake movie title that you use in Cecil B. Demented, which is Some Kind of Happiness.
Yeah.
Where'd you get the title from?
I don't know. I just had to think up like sappy titles of romantic movies. Although I feel that I have some kind of happiness. I think it
what
sounds.
Kind?
I don't know. Some kind. To me, it sounds like a very Douglas Sirk title.
Oh, yeah.
All That Heaven Allows, or that kind of 50s kind of thing, titles that they don't have anymore. Tennessee Williams always had such good titles, you know. I mean, and they don't have those kind of titles that are long, that don't really mean anything. Like, I don't know, like Bus Riley's Back in Town. I mean, there's some great titles, like The Dark at the Top of the Stairs. William Inge had great titles. We don't have those kind of drama titles anymore.
Well, I want to thank you so much, John Waters, for talking with us.
Thank you for having me. It's good to be back in person with you.
John Waters speaking with Terry Gross 2 years ago. The new Broadway musical Hairspray opens next week. This is Fresh Air.